we only have 1% of the Indian brands in India, and there are no other brands in India. So moving the supply chain from a particular country and shifting it to India during these geopolitical situations would always be a question. Will they do it or won't they do it? That's my belief in it.
Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and professionals who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, and of course, the little agonies and ecstasies of life and work. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial, professional, and philanthropic journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, Spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, which is now YouTube Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. For this episode, I'm delighted to have a person who has played a pivotal role in democratizing access to smartphones as the former CEO and founding leader of Realme India, Madhav Seth. In 2024, Madhav embarked on his most ambitious venture yet, that is founding Next Quantum Shift Technologies. At the heart of this venture is Next Quantum OS and the forthcoming AI plus smartphone products that are preparing to disrupt the Indian market. With these, Madhav is spearheading India's shift from being an assembly hub to becoming an author and originator of foundational tech platforms. His innovations are rooted in privacy, trust, and data sovereignty. And they're entirely made in India for Indians. Madhav is one of India's most prominent and visionary technology entrepreneurs with nearly two decades of leadership experience in the global smartphone industry. He made his mark leading some of the world's most recognized smartphone brands, including Realme Indian Honor smartphones in India. He was instrumental in establishing Realme as one of India's fastest growing and most influential smartphone players, securing significant market share in record time. With Next Quantum Shift Technologies, Madhav is ready to once again redefine what a smartphone can be in the era of AI. Welcome to the show, Madhav. Delighted to have you.
Oh, lovely, Gaurav. Thank you very much for the warm introduction, and I'm very happy to be on your show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Madhav, you know, we are in the age of AI, and it's getting embedded in our lives faster than probably we can realize, probably we can even imagine. A good starting point to have this conversation with you is something that you were credited with. You were credited with lowering the entry barrier, essentially dismantle the entry barriers for millions of Indians so far as smartphone is concerned, you know. But for you, probably millions of Indians would not have been able to own a smartphone as rapidly they ended up doing. Now, having achieved that in the smartphone space, artificial intelligence is clearly the next big technology disruptor. We are right in the high noon of it, and it's going to last for several years as we speak right now. My question is, how can we make the AI ecosystem more inclusive? Because if it ends up actually leaving a large part of the world outside of from getting the benefits of AI, then it could turn out to be an extremely exclusive ecosystem. How can I ensure that AI meets local needs and is aligned to India's developmental goals?
Gaurav, I think it's a wonderful question to start with. While I've always been known for democratizing technology, while I have launched AI plus smartphone, I believe that democratization and inclusivity is a part of a value system which a brand should have, because people connect with the brands because of their value systems. As someone who deeply committed towards democratizing technology, I believe that making the AI ecosystem inclusive in India involves several pivotal steps. We need to prioritize access by ensuring that infrastructure reaches out not just urban centers, but also rural and underserved areas. Education plays a crucial role, so we must invest in training programs that foster digital literacy and AI skills among the diverse demographics. Additionally, collaboration with the local communities and the business is the key to developing AI solutions that genuinely resonates with the needs and aspirations of our people. By saying this, what I mean to say, Gaurav, is AI is more about accessibility to the people rather than just as a marketing jargon. AI will help reach people where they haven't been there before. Like, say, for example, even a coder, a non-coder can be a coder tomorrow. Even a non-MBA guy can have all the answers what an MBA would have it. This is about bridging the gap of knowledge. This is about bringing more inclusivity within the people, where people who are not been able to achieve it, they've been able to achieve through the inclusivity of AI ecosystem. While how we can bridge these gaps, while India has made a significant strides in delivering this digital public goods, I believe AI presents a unique set of challenges which we must address to lead the global conversation. One major gap which I always believe is the foundational research and development in AI technologies, which I still believe that India needs to get up into it or to bring that inclusivity into the AI ecosystem. And by investing into this academic research institutions and incubation startups focused on AI innovation, I think we can foster a thriving ecosystem. That's where I believe it, Gaurav, according to me, which I believe is inclusivity and democratization. While democratization we've been doing with AI plus smartphones, which I've launched it in India, and I want to make sure that people have the digital inclusivity along with the hardware, because it's not just about the software. They need a hardware to also have an access to the democratization. Well, Gaurav, it's a very sad part in India that we still have a huge digital divide. We have 450 million 2G users in India who do not have an access to the internet in a real-time ways, where probably they can be one of the major people who can also help to build. While we are talking about inclusivity, while we are talking about AI inclusivity, I still believe that there are more than 450, 500 million people, and adding 50 million every single year on the feature phones, which are not the part of a digital inclusive ecosystem. So it's one is from the hardware side, one is from the AI side, and one is from the software side. So I think this is where everything needs to be collaborate and work together to make sure that probably there's a digital inclusivity in the AI ecosystem as well.
Very well said, Madhav. You know, it serves as a perfect segue for my next question. Is on India's remarkable success in digital public goods and the India stack, the stack on which systems like UPI, ONDC, etc. are founded or are built, is now standing out as a global exemplar for which many countries are now, taking a leaf out of the India stack and the Indian digital public goods ecosystem to try and implement something similar in their own countries. UPI clearly has become one of India's strongest fintech exports, particularly in the digital public goods space. I mean, there's no gainsaying the fact that this clearly demonstrates a potential that we can bring about in digital innovation. But having said that, artificial intelligence is in a completely different ball game. It's a it's almost going on to a completely different stratosphere. What are the gaps? Because you have a ringside view of all of these and you have been at the thick of things. What, according to you, are the gaps India must bridge in order to shape the conversation of AI and just not end playing catch up?
So I believe the most important, as far as what I see, is right now, AI has always been used as a marketing jargon, but not been used in the real life scenario that how will it help people to improvise or, shorten up their day-to-day task. And it's not been given in a simplest of examples to the people. I still believe AI, all the AI startups which I was seeing in the world, they have been not been able to break through it because they are trying to develop the AI tools, but it will be a commodity over a period of time. But at the same time, as I said, the most important thing in India, which I see as a gap, is the research and development. We've been just replicating or we've been just using the foreign technologies rather than what we've been, able to create in India. We should be able to, if we really want to be a digital sovereign country, we need to have our own infrastructure. We cannot be reliant on foreign infrastructure. And I think that's the disconnect which I want to fix it. One of the most important aspects, as I said, the R&D is not happening in India. We are not thinking about what should we do on bringing the patents to India. We are not thinking about the design mindset. We are not thinking about how we can have more patents around the designs and we can build an ecosystem. If we generally see Europe and US or the Western countries, they have been more focusing not on the labor work, but they've been more focusing on more tangible, or I would say intangible, things, which are like IPs, which are intellectual properties, and the designs around that particular thing, where they can monetize over a period of years and years or decades over the time. But in India or in China, which used to be before, but now China has been way ahead in filing the patents, India has not still grown to that thought process of having a design economy or a product design economy. I think that is where I believe that we are lacking on the research and development and the tools to think about it. If we really want to move from a manufacturing or an assembly country, we have to think about the design economy and how we can have more patents around in India. And I think if we are really talking about AI, we really need to build our own infrastructure rather than being dependent on the foreign infrastructures, if we really want to believe on digital self-reliance. That's my point of view, Gaurav.
You know, Madhav, let's change tack a bit. Let's talk about your new venture, Next Quantum Shift Technologies. Yeah. You are seeking to disrupt the smartphone market once again, and this time with what you call a privacy-first mobile experience. I ask you this question because data is very, very crucial for personalization. And we have seen the kind of discussion in the public space that has taken around data privacy laws in India. In your view, how can you balance performance and privacy? Are they mutually exclusive, or don't they sometimes pull in different directions?
Let me answer it in a way, a different way. Our goal is to enhance human capabilities rather than replacing them. So the point number one, which I want to say, is if I go to any consumer and ask about privacy over convenience, they will always choose convenience over privacy and not privacy over convenience. Privacy is something which would be always their priority number two, but not a priority number one, while they will always choose convenience over privacy. So the whole point about privacy is about that people would want it, but not over convenience. They are not able to understand, and that's where the education is extremely important. So the way I would or like to put this particular point is, first of all, the education is extremely important, that what is digital privacy or what is data privacy all about and how it can really impact you. That's point number one. Secondly, how we can protect you from that particular thing and where you should be doing it. Because for that, education from the industry as well as from the government is extremely important. And coming together and educating the consumer is very important. While the industry in India is 80% is owned by Chinese ecosystem, I do not think so they will even bother about, you know, taking care of educating the consumers about what is digital privacy all about, or what your data is going and being stored across. While every single IMEI number, which is your mobile equipment identification numbers, the data and the pings are been recorded in their servers, which is outside India, and they haven't complete access towards it. There are a lot of telemetrics data which are not required for any of the app developers or any of the hardware developers to take over it, which that data is extremely important, that you know how our phones been used, or tomorrow how you can become a product out of it. So we should understand one thing, that you are a product if you are something, you are using it for free. So your phone should protect you and not profile you. And that's, I think, something which I was reading across, and it's extremely important. So I think what we are trying to do is to make sure, first, as a consumer, they should be educated. That's first thing. And what we are trying to do is to give a privacy dashboard on the phone itself, which means that the consumers will know that which apps is taking what type of data and how they are using it. It is taking from your call records or your camera, or is it taking any access? So if you go to US or UK, you are still able to use your apps if you still stop giving them the telemetrics data. While in India, the DPDP Act is supposed to be implemented. I think education is the first thing to be implemented. Secondly, once the government also implements this DPDP Act, there'll be more important that probably there will be 30 or 40 type of telemetrics data, which includes your ID or your Aadhaar cards or your personal details, which should not be going to any of the developers, which is extremely important for you to be stored. And I think that's the second step. And third step, which we said, is about democratizing and making it to the masses that, you know, this is how it will be really important, because that is your wallet. Your phone is your wallet, your phone is your ID, your phone is your education system. Everything is on your phone. You cannot let go your data, any of the people, just because you want to be lazy in installing any apps and you just put OK to every single thing on the click. That's, I think, Gaurav, I believe what we are trying to change it out.
You know, Madhav, why do you think next Quantum OS is going to be a game changer? And specifically, you have AI plus smartphone. What does the plus here signify? And related to that, a supplementary is, of course, India is an extremely multilingual country. We have 22 constitutionally recognized official languages, but there's so many dialects across so many states, and millions of people speak very different dialects, very different languages, and we think in very different ways. Depending on which language you speak, your worldview changes. Considering that regional languages or non-English, non-Hindi languages dominate the linguistic landscape in India, how are you building in AI assistance that will drive adoption among a wider cross-section of domestic users? I ask you this question: could language actually turn out to be a barrier that could be difficult to dismantle and surmount in the AI race that we have got into?
Gaurav, I don't think so. Just language is one of the only barriers, because language, yes, it will be more customized towards your needs. What I believe in, innovating in today's geopolitical environment presents its own set of challenges, including the supply chain issues and the regulatory complexities. While, as I said, language, local LLMs, everything would be inbuilt into the smartphones, and we will continue to build and improvise over a period of time. The biggest challenge in today's geopolitical environment presents is, as I said, is the supply chain and the regulatory complexes. This complexities has to be solved out for the consumers to understand that how we can be more independent and more digital reliant, and how AI Plus is, I'm not saying that, you know, next Quantum OS is going to be a game changer for it. What we are trying to do is to make sure that probably next Quantum OS is based, which is based on Android, but at the same time, how it can be more transparent, which is based on the foundation of being transparency, being inclusive, and make sure that probably privacy is one of the key factors for the consumers to understand that we are trying to educate them rather than just trying to take away something from them. And in this circumstance, as an opportunity to innovate the solution that can withstand such adversity, our focus must be on fostering a culture of agility in our teams and building locally relevant products that can address both domestic and international demand. So it's not just about local LLMs, but yes, we should be focusing, if AI Plus is a global brand starting from India, my relevant products has to address both domestic and the international demands while ensuring that their own national sovereignty has not been impacted. I think that is what we are focusing on. And it's more about the value systems. While we will never compromise on the technology at a particular price point, which I believe in democratizing it, while continuing to build on these value systems and ensuring that, you know, there's a sovereignty, our data sovereignty of every single country has been maintained around it.
Absolutely. Madhav, you know, you were at the forefront of Realme's India expansion, and now you're building a new tech company ground up, and it's a startup in many ways. How would you say are the challenges? What are the, from your own experience of building this, what are the challenges of innovating in a, particularly in a geopolitically fraught atmosphere? Because there are too many known unknowns that are taking place and disrupting not just geopolitics, but also regulation. Do you think innovation suffers in such a climate? What has been your own experience and what's your view?
Let me start with one thing, that Realme was the brand which I started. It's not what I scaled up in India. It was the brand which I started and scaled it up myself to 90 different countries except China. So I have been in the forefront, not only in starting a brand, but starting a brand from scratch and building up to the 90 countries in a span of 2.5 years, making that brand as number two brand in India, which I'm proud that after I left is now out of around, or is around top five, not even in top five. So which means that, you know, the leadership and the value systems matters a lot. So by saying this, I'm not trying to boast on myself, but there's one thing which I would really like to say is, in every leadership, I figured out one thing. A product is important. Innovations are extremely important. That is the P0, which is priority zero. But the most important is that the people connect with the leaderships and the brand values before connecting also before buying a particular product. So people has to resonate with a particular brand. So while I'm trying to scale it up in India, and I'll scale it up globally, there are a lot of challenges. And as I said, what you rightly said also, Gaurav, that what are the geopolitical situations? If you just take a step back before COVID, all the masters, what we learned in masters was The world is one, supply chain is one. But post-COVID, everybody started becoming more independent. Every country wanted to be more independent because of the geopolitical situation. So there's a different world altogether post-COVID. The thought process has completely changed rather than having one supply chain ecosystem. There, everybody is thinking of building up their own supply chain ecosystem and being more self-reliant rather than being dependent as one world, one supply chain ecosystem. And that has become one of the biggest change post-COVID. While we have to be making sure that probably it has not been an overnight journey, but at the same time, during this geopolitical thing, innovation should not be taking a step back, because whatever we try to do localization, the consumers do not focus only on localizations. Consumers in technology will always focus on innovations, on values, which is about the price to value, which means that we have always considered consumers in India as they want to buy the cheapest of the product. I always say that is a wrong notion which all the brands in the foreign have built for Indians. I believe that Indians would have want to buy something which is more value conscious, which means that at what price, what value they are able to get it from that particular product. And that is more relevant rather than just being a price conscious consumer. They are not price conscious consumers, they are value conscious consumers. At what price they get at what particular product. And I think innovation will always be the forefront leading into this particular thing. Secondly, it would be then the supply chains, resolving the supply chain over a period of time. If I have to give you categorically one simple example, the supply chain moved from Japan to China, and it took 30 years. And from 1950 to 1980s, that's where the supply chain started moving it up from China, from Japan to China, where China was considered as the sweatshop or the labor country, where they did not have labor laws until 2000 or around 2005. And that's when they started building up. So that they took about 30 years what China is today. They have got more than millions of patents filed, while they have invested not only in manufacturing or mass production, but they've also invested in R&Ds and everything. So they have built an ecosystem which is very difficult to be replicated in the shortest period of time. But at the same time, we have to, if we start thinking that, you know, it is we are too far away from them, I think it's a wrong notion. We have to start building from somewhere. I believe where the brand is, that's where the entire supply chain will start coming out for. So yes, there will be definitely, during post-COVID, there will be a lot of geopolitical situations which will be arising for a brand. But at the same time, innovation, I believe, is one of the most important priority for the consumers, because when consumers buy a product, they are not looking at the geopolitical crisis. They are looking for something which is the latest, the innovation, and how it can help your easing up your day-to-day life. So I think as a tech brand, I have to focus on that as a P0, which is a priority. P1 would be solving up the supply chain. P2 would be, you know, building up your own ecosystem where you are based out of from it. And P3 would be then bringing in the entire component ecosystems around it to make it a complete 360 degree as a independent self-digital reliant brand. That's how it is.
Absolutely, Madhav. Finally, you know, let's talk about technological advance. Let's talk about a process of creative destruction. And this is relentless. It's unrelenting. It's happening every day. It's making the pace of obsolescence very, very rapid, because every day, almost every day, as we speak, we are moving on to a newer phase. And now this is the age of high tech. While we have done reasonably well in high tech, we have now moved into the era of deep tech. The global conversation has decisively shifted towards that. Besides AI, of course, the core areas of advancement remain robotics, quantum computing, blockchain technologies, etc. That's going to decide the future path. What are the first steps, according to Madhav, that we need to take for India's technological self-reliance? If you want to build this, if you want to build self-reliance in this space, what are the key steps that we need to take now, Madhav?
For India's journey towards technology self-reliance, we need to take decisive steps in advancing our capabilities in critical areas. This includes significantly investing in research and development for emerging technologies like AI, robotics, and quantum computing. Additionally, nurturing a robust startup ecosystem can spur innovation and attract global partnerships, which is extremely important. I believe the startup ecosystems would be one of the key backbone if we really want to move to a self reliance. Third, I believe that, to attract the global partnership, this robust startup ecosystems to give them the support what they need would be extremely critical in terms of not only in terms of financials or from the VC ecosystems, but also understanding, because I believe the current VC ecosystems in India, they are not matured enough to understand how they are the how they operate in West. So investing in deep tech is something which, even the financing companies need to understand that how does it really matter to them, and they really need to support this robust startup ecosystem. We should also look to create policies that encourage local manufacturing of high-tech products, which will strengthen our economy and reduce dependency on external sources. But overall, this path will not only empower us to be a self-reliant, but also position India as a significant player in global tech arena. And I have strongly believed that India has the potential, because the skill manpower in India, I have seen, is one of not only the cheapest one, but also one of the most reliable one in the global arena at this point of time. While I have also been in China, the average age of a population is around plus 40. While we are the youngest population in the world, highest population in the world, with a young population and skilled population also. The right now, what we need is that third, and also the fourth most important thing is how we can shift this technology transfer or technology know-how transfers from a different countries coming to us. So because we have the skill manpower, it's just about technology know-how transfers need to be done to ensure that probably we become more independent and more reliant and self-reliant country. Because until unless that transfer of know-how is not been done, even if we have a skilled manpower, we would not be able to reach to that particular stage. Fifth, investing in robotics and high edge. If you saw the latest article from Apple, that they have been forcing all the suppliers to move towards complete robotics and more automation. The reason is only because, when, as far as I believe, is that tomorrow, if they really want to shift the supply chain to any of the countries, if it is more automation, it would be much easier for them, because they also know that if there's a push from the American government to push the entire supply chain to US, investing in automation will help to move the supply chain faster, and shifting it would be making it more easier. So I think they have started taking steps, and this is where I see that India should also start investing on all of these aspects along with the government and the industry. The only sad part about in this industry is that as I said, the startup ecosystems does not get enough of, I would say they are not enough empowered, including from the financial or also from the support systems, what they should be getting it to build it up, and where they can be also supported from the global arena. Secondly, I believe that probably the investments towards the infrastructure has to be built on towards the automations and the robotics. I think that's where the industry also should come into the picture, because while government has been pushing us to do it, but I do not see, at least in the smartphone industry, anybody trying to move that supply chain ecosystem. As I said, we only have 1% of the Indian brands in India, and there are no other brands in India. So moving the supply chain from a particular country and shifting it to India during this geopolitical situations would always be a question. Will they do it or won't they do it? That's my belief in it.
Absolutely, Madhav. Very well said. Thank you so much for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us. Thank you so much for sharing your deep insights and perspective on a range of issues. Thank you, Madhav.
Thanks, Gaurav. Thank you very much.